And anybody that's a child of God will tell you they're not worthy of standing up here. It's all through the power of the Holy Spirit, through His strength, that we're able to stand up here. You know, God asks His children sometimes to be obedient and just share a message. And I hope and pray today as I stand before you, I share a message to you that God laid on my heart. And I just want to share that with you, because when you read God's word, it's good.
Amen.
And it's so good, and you just love on it, and you're like, man, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And He says, now go tell somebody.
Amen.
So, and I thank Marquita today for her obedience to sharing what God put on her heart, because, you know, God just lines everything up.
Amen.
He's just so awesome. He just lines everything up. And I praise Him for who He is and all that He does. If you would, open your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Luke. It'll be the Gospel of Luke chapter 8, starting in verse number 4. And if you're able, if you could, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 8, verse number 4. And when you're there, if you'll please say amen.
Amen.
And when much people were gathered together and were come to Him out of every city, He spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. And the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when He had said these things, He cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And His disciples asked Him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And He said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel, or putteth under a bed, but setteth on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light." Let us pray.
Amen.
Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, I just thank You. I just thank You for who You are.
Thank You, God.
Father, I thank You for this day and this opportunity to stand and just share Your word, Father. And then, Holy Spirit, I just pray that You have Your way. I just pray that I decrease, that You may increase. I pray that every word that comes out of my mouth bring honor and glory to You, Father. Lord, I just pray that if there's anything that I've prepared that is not of You, You just take it away now. Lord, I just thank You and love You. And I just ask that You have Your way in this place today. And Your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to tell you, you know, God is an amazing God. And He truly loves His children. Because sometimes we get to a point in our lives and we start looking around, and I think God says to seek Him first and quit looking around, but you know, we're weak and we fall. So we start looking around and we start looking at other people and we want to say, well, man, why are they not doing this? Or why are they not doing that? Why are they not like this? And why are they not like that? And then as a child of God, the Holy Spirit's in you and He starts convicting you. And He says, who are you to judge others? Who are you to condemn that person? Who are you to decide that they're no good or they're worthy or so on and so forth? And then what He does is He takes you back and says, Robert, do you remember where you came from?
Amen.
You used to be that person that didn't pay attention. You used to be that person that didn't have time. You used to be that person that didn't care. You used to be that person that was all about yourself and not about God.
Amen.
So who are you to judge others and who are you to condemn others?
Amen.
So then what He does is He takes His word and says, here, this is you, Brother Robert. Let's take a look at your life. And I want to share my testimony because the song earlier said that, you know, that's our witness, our testimony. Well, where did Robert White come from? Well, back in the day when I was born into a family that was not a Christian family. And I lived in that house for about the first 10 years, and there was no speak of God or Jesus Christ or anything like that in my household. But I went to this really small school, and at this small school there was a couple that lived across the street from the school that would open their house every Wednesday afternoon, and if you wanted to, you could go over there and spend the afternoon at this couple's house. And what we did at that house was they would share Bible stories and sing songs about Jesus Christ and everything else. But in them first 10 years of my life, that wasn't for me. That wasn't about, no. You're talking to somebody else. Because that's not what I had in my house. So the Word of God was not for me. I was only there because that was where you could go and have fun. So I'd go and have fun. And there, the Word was there, but that was not for me. And then at about 10 years old, my mom gave her life to Christ. And she became a child of God. And she started taking us to church. She started sharing the Word of God with us as kids. But at that point in my life, I just kind of did some things to make my mama happy. Well, mama, if this makes you happy, then I'll say the right things and do the right things and while I'm in front of you. But as soon as you're gone, I'm going back to do all the crazy things that I think I should be doing. So that was from about 10 years old to 15 years old. I just did the things to make mama happy. And then at about 15, I got to a point in my life to where that, all right, I'm getting older. You know, I've been taught, you know, a man works hard and provides for his family and takes care of his family you know, those are the things that I've got to prioritize in my life. So from about 15 to 30 years old, I was all about the cares of the world. I knew that I was going to grow up and join the military. So I had my heart set, did the things I needed to do so I could get into the service, got into the service, got a good job, got married, had 2.5 kids, had 2.5 vehicles. You know, I was moving up in my career. I was doing all the things that the world says you need to do in order to be successful. So I had it going on. I'm doing the right things. Now, there was people around me, trust me, there's people around me all the time talking about God, talking about Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, I tell you, I could stand in front of you and make you believe that I knew Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I could tell you all the right things that you needed to hear to make you believe that I knew what I was doing. But in here, it was all about taking care of me and doing the things that the world thought I should do. And then there came a point in my life to where that all those things that I thought were important were taken away. They were no longer there. I was so busy taking care of the things that I thought the world said I was supposed to take care of, they were taken away. And that was the day in my life when I had to realize that I wasn't all that. That I could no longer do it my way. That I needed some help. Now, because of what I'd heard before, I'd heard it. I had a choice on that day. I could either reach out to my Heavenly Father, Amen. Or I could have ran back to the world. And if you've been in the world for a while, you know what's out there. The world's going to give you drugs and alcohol and tell you all these great things that are just going to make your life so much better, and then in the morning you wake up and it's still there. But because of those wonderful people in my life that had shared the Word of God with me before, I knew on that day when everything in this world had been taken away from me that I could reach out to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I need you in my life. He had been there my whole life, but I didn't let him in. I didn't accept him. I didn't want anything to do with him. I was too busy doing my own thing. And on that day, I was willing to say, Lord, I need you. Now, if you notice, throughout each period of my life, there was a different part. And we're going to cover each and one of those. But that's my testimony. Robert White had to get to a point. God didn't really want it that way. He was there when I was a little child. But I didn't listen to him. Right? God didn't set it up to where that, hey, you got to go through all these things. But that's the way that it turned out because I was so hard-headed. Now, I sit there and I look back and I look at our little brother in Christ, Jared. I remember just the other day, Miss Haley was up here in tears, just thanking God for her little baby Cooper being saved. Amen. God doesn't put an age on it. Amen. Okay, it's not about how old you are. We're going to learn today that it's all about your soil. What kind of soil? As we look at this parable that Jesus taught to his disciples, if we look at Luke chapter 8, and we'll come to an agreement that the seed that Jesus is speaking of in the parable is the Word of God. Amen. No question about that. The seed is the Word of God. And then he speaks, and we're going to jump back up to verse 5. He's talking about the sower. I want to spend a little bit of time on the sower because in my life, when from 0 to 10 years old, the sower was this couple that lived in this house across the street from the school. They didn't know me, but they were being faithful to God and they were sharing the Word of God. They were sowing a seed. Right? Now, most of us will sit back and say, well, the sower's got to be the pastor, the preachers, the teachers, the evangelists. That's their job. Yes, it's their job, but not their job alone. How about dads and moms and brothers and sisters? And as a child of God, and we talked about it Wednesday night, as a child of God, to become a disciple of God is to go out there and sow your seed. Amen. Share your testimony. Share the word of God. Share the good news of what Jesus Christ has done in your life. Maggie, her gift is singing. When she gets up here and sings them beautiful songs, if you listen to the words that she's singing, that's the word of God. Amen. She's sowing seed. Amen. And that's awesome. So there's so many different people and ways to be a sower. Sowing the word of God. As a sower of the word of God, just one thing real quick to caution us. A lot of times we want to pick and choose who we share the Word of God with.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Don't do that. Because if that couple would have chosen to only go to the school and pick out those that are saved and bring them to their house, I would have never heard it from 0 to 10. Okay, my mama, you know, when she got saved and she came out and was sharing the Word of God to her children, you know, she might have said, well, Robert, you know, he's the bad child. There's still no hope for him. I'm not going to share it with him. You know, as I got older, you know, and there was people that were willing to go out and share the word of God. You know, if they might have just said, you know, hey, we're not going to talk to that group over there because there's no hope for them. As I stand before you today and I share the word of God to you, you know, a lot of times you might want to say, well, everybody that comes to church is saved. In the house today, there is somebody in the house that is like the wayside. There's somebody in this house today that is like the rock. There's somebody in this house today that is like the thorns. And there's very few that are here today that are like the good soil. A lot of times we want to say, oh, you go to church, you're good to go. Not always true. So as I stand before you today to sow the seed, I can't pick and choose and say, well, no, you're not any good and you're not any good. No, as the pastor gets up here and you, and thank God for a good pastor. When he stands up here each and every Sunday and shares the word of God with you, you know, one thing that you'd find a pastor that truly loves you, he's not going to pick and choose and say, well, you know, I'm only going to give them the good stuff. The word of God is the truth.
Amen.
And sometimes the truth hurts. And if he really loves you, and we learned this last week, if he really loves you, he rejoices in the truth. So sometimes when he gives you a message and it hurts, you need to run up and give him a hug and say, thank you, brother, for being honest with me. Because the truth. There's a lot of times today that people get in front of the congregations or hold church and they just want to make everybody feel good. They want to tell you that, oh, you know, being a child of God is easy. That's not the truth. It's not the truth. And one day we'll all answer for what we share. But know that you have a pastor. Know that you have somebody that is going to give you the truth. So we've talked about the word, the seed. We've talked about the sower. So then we're going to get into the soils. But I want to share with you Romans 10:17. What is the purpose of sowing the seed if there's nobody listening? What is the purpose? Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you're a child of God and you're not sharing the word of God, you're not giving anybody out there an opportunity to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The only way that they're ever going to come to faith in Jesus Christ is by hearing it. Isn't that what that says? So as a child of God, go out and share the word of God and give somebody out there an opportunity for that saving grace. Can't come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior if they haven't heard the truth. So it's our job, it's our purpose as a child of God to sow the seed. Look with me in verse number 12. Luke chapter 8, verse number 12. We'll talk about the first soil. Verse number 12 reads, "Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." And I know I was a young child and didn't really know a lot, but probably back then I thought I knew quite a bit. They talking about God. They talking about Jesus. That ain't for me. That's for somebody else. I had a hardened heart. I was young and no excuse because, praise God, we've got young children that are willing to know the truth. But at my age, I was just stubborn. It's like, that's not, I didn't see it in my house. So if it's not in my house, then it was like, okay, that can't be for me. That God and Jesus is for somebody else. So no matter what they said or anything like that, you know, it was just, I didn't listen to it. So as the word came down on me, it just fell off. I was not listening. I wasn't willing to listen to any of it. It wasn't for me. I had a hardened heart. I was unteachable. It says I was blind to the things of God. A lot of the people today that have that hardened heart say, I don't want to hear it.
Amen.
Don't even be saying that stuff to me. I don't want to hear it. They're lost. And they're broken. But they don't even know it. And they will never know it unless those faithful will continue to sow the seed. Even if they harden their hearts and say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Do we give up hope on them? No, we don't. Do we judge them and say there's no hope? No, we don't. That's not my job. We continue to do what God has called us to do, and that is to share the good news. In verse number 13, we learn of a different soil. A soil of the rock. They on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while they believe, and in time of temptation fall away. We all should be able to kind of been down this road. You can probably just have some stories of your own. Young man, 10 to 15 years old, my mom had come to know Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, and she had a lot to say about it. When you get to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you get pretty excited, and you want to tell everybody. Amen. You want to share it. What do you want to do, Marquita? You want to let your light shine.
Come on.
And she did. So I played along. Yes, Mom. Okay. Yep. I even got dunked in some water. About 12 years old. I remember it. It was cold water because back in Oregon, you've got these flowing rivers and creeks, and they come from the highest mountains, and they flow down, and that was some cold water. Right? And I heard the word. Yes, Mom. Okay. But as soon as there was something fun to do anywhere else, I was gone. Pew. It was there. But there was no root to it. It was just shallow. My heart was not there to really receive what she was saying. It was just shallow. It was on the outside. Now, if you'd ask anybody around me, I could play the game with the rest of them. You look at me and say, okay, yes, he got it going on. No, he didn't. He was playing the game. Because the minute that me and the other boys could run down to the railroad tracks and throw rocks at things we weren't supposed to and just do temptation, pew, gone. In today's society, we've got people out there that can say all the right things. They hear the word of God. They say all the right things. They leave it right here on this. But the minute it comes down to go have fun with the world, they're gone. They're tempted, they're gone. There's no root to it. The rock. If we've been there, you can say, you know what? I've got a story about that. I used to be exactly like that. That was me. That was me. Just like the rock. Verse number 14. And that which fell among the thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches, pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. This right here, unfortunately, if we really want to be honest with our society today, this is the majority of the people in society today. This is the majority of the people that enter the church on Sunday mornings. And that's tough. That's hard. Please know my heart. I don't want to upset anybody today. I don't want to frustrate anybody today. My heart's desire is that you leave here saved, knowing Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Because if you fall under one of these soils that is not a good soil, you won't spend eternity with God in heaven. You won't do it. And you look at this and you say, well, you know, they're not bad people. It's not about being a good person. It's about knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's all about making God first in your life. And we look at these thorns. And we're talking about soil today. And we look at these thorns and what are some thorns in your life? The cares, what's he call it? The cares and the riches, the pleasures of this life. Now you might want to say, well, you know, Robert, I still got to work. I still got to take care of my kids. I still got to take care of my house. You know, I still got to pay my bills. Those are the cares of this life. It's okay to have a good time, pleasures of life. You're right. But when you put those things before God, then you have no room for God in your life. The thorns, the cares, and the riches of this life. People, now once again, as a soil to where that you say, hey, you know, I've got these thorns, you can still pretend. You can still come to church on Sunday morning. You can still, you know, say all the right things. But deep down in your heart, you're not being honest with God. Amen. Because the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life are more important than God. So if you fall under the soils, you've got cares and riches of this life. And you've got God down here. Now Jesus said that the first and the greatest commandment is that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. If you can relate your soil to your heart and your mind and your soul, where is God in that? And if God's not first, you're going to fall in one of these first three soils. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 24. And this is how God's Word just puts us straight out there for us. Jesus, giving the Sermon on the Mount, he says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. So basically, you've got to choose. If you're in the thorns, you're basically choosing the world over God. The cares of this life are more important to me than serving God. And that's tough, but it's honest.
Amen.
There's a point that we've got to get to with our heart and our mind and our soul in order to come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's called the good ground. And I want to share with you how to transition from either the wayside, the rock, the thorns, to the good ground. Look at verse number 15. But on that good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Somebody with good ground has got to be willing to listen, because it says that they heard it. If you're not willing to listen, if you're one of those wayside people, you don't even want to hear it, right?
Amen. Amen.
So if you're wayside, you don't want to hear it. You got to be willing to learn. You know, when we get hard-headed, kind of like the rock, you know, we already know it all. I got it all figured out. You can't really tell me anything. Got to be willing to listen. Got to be willing to learn it. Somebody that is willing to listen. Look with me to Mark chapter 4, verse 23. Got to be willing to listen. Jesus says it. He also said it in Luke chapter 8, verse number 8. But Mark chapter 4, verse number 23. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. That's the word of God that comes from Jesus Christ Himself. But if your heart, mind, and soul is not in the right place, are you going to listen to what Robert White has to say today? No, you're not. You might be asleep already, or you might already be at dinner somewhere. If your heart, mind, and soul ain't right, you're not listening. But if I'm in the good ground and willing to listen, God's got a message for you today. I'm just the vessel, but He's got a message for you. But yet you've got to be willing to hear. How about Romans chapter 10, verse 17? If you want to have good ground, you've got to be willing to listen. But what happens when I listen? Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing Robert's story. No, by hearing the Word of God. That's how I come to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, is by hearing it from them great and wonderful people you've had in your life that have been out there sowing seed. And they didn't say, Bobby, you're not worth it. I'm not going to talk to you about Jesus Christ. I'm going to go to somebody else. No, they didn't. They came and just spread it out there. And wherever it may fall, right, God's working in your life.
Amen.
And there's seeds out there. But am I willing to hear? Am I willing to listen? And through listening to the Word of God and listening to the truth, my faith comes. Something else in order to transition from and to good ground. Your heart, mind, and soul, you must be ready to surrender all.
Amen.
You must be ready to surrender all. Look with me in John chapter 12. You know what? If I'm in that thorns ground, I've got control over my job. I've got control over my family. I've got control over my marriage. I've got control over that. Right? Because those are my priorities. I'm taking care of them. In order to transition to that good ground is saying, you know what, God? I ain't got none of this. I need you to be over my marriage. I need you to be over my job. I need you to be over my family. I've got to be ready to surrender, not part, but all. And what does he say in John chapter 12, verse number 25? I appreciate Jared back there doing all that for me. John chapter 12, verse 25 says, "He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." If you love what you're doing and you're happy with everything that's going on and you're saying, "Lord, I don't need you," he says, guess what? You're going to lose that one day. But if you're willing to lose that today and give it to God and allow God to take over your life, he says, you shall keep it unto life eternal. You've got to be willing to give it all up. And here's the lie and the problem that we have today is people want to give pieces. They don't want to give it all to God. They want to give pieces to God. And you can sit here and you can, you know, justify in your mind and say, well, there's a purpose and a reason behind me keeping this. God doesn't want bits and pieces. God wants it all. Amen. And there will be a day when we stand before God and he's going to say, get away from me, for I never knew you. And you go, but God, remember I gave you the... No, you didn't give it all to him. And if you didn't give it all to him, you might as well not give him anything. Because he don't want it. Until you're at that point with your heart, soul, and mind to give it all to him, you're not ready. Got to be there. Surrender all. Somebody has to be humble to have good soil. That's a tough one. Amen. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Probably a little bit harder for a man than a lady to be humble. You might have been brought up, raised up, that says, you know what, the man's got to know it. He's got to have the answers. He's got to be in control. He's got to be able to take care of things. It takes humility to say that, you know, I don't have this. World today says, I've got this. But a humble man can say, you know, I can't do this. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, it said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, what does it mean to be poor in spirit? As a child of God, our strength comes from the Holy Spirit. But in order for the Holy Spirit to move in and take over in my life, there has to be nothing there. It's got to be empty. Now, if I've got my spirit and my, oh, well, I'm all that, and I can do this and I can do that, if I've got that in there, the Holy Spirit's not moving in. Because he ain't been welcomed yet. I ain't cleared it out. So Jesus was telling them on the Sermon on the Mount that in order to let the Holy Spirit come in and guide you, you've got to be poor in spirit. Poor means I ain't got nothing. I'm broke. Pour in your spirit. Basically saying, God, I can't do this. Amen. I need you. Amen. Amen. I need you, Lord. If you still in the back of your mind sit there and say, you know what, I can still do it on my own, you're not there yet. You're still living in the thorns or the rock or maybe all the way back to the wayside. But in order to get that good ground, there's got to be humility and say, Lord, I can do nothing apart from you. But with you, all things are possible. And that's awesome. That's straight from the Word of God. That's good stuff. And it gets you excited. Because Lord knows we fail a lot on our own. How about somebody that hungers for the truth? To have good ground, you've got to hunger for the truth. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to stay right there. Verse number 6. What do you mean hunger for the truth? You know, when Brother Anthony gets up here and preaches his heart out, I know there's many days that it just hurts to really just share the truth. Because it's hard. There's some people out there that are going to have to realize that they ain't got it all going on. They ain't got it figured out. They're doing it wrong. And the Word of God is there to let us know that some of us are doing it wrong. But if you're not willing to hear the truth, if all you want is somebody to rub your shoulders and pat your back, this is not the church.
Amen.
This is not the book.
Amen.
If you get in the Word of God, there's going to be many a times that it's going to hurt. And if you don't hunger for the truth, and you don't hunger for righteousness, righteousness is those things that are right with God. Not those things that are right with the world, but right with God. Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Because when you do, and you want to know the truth of God, and you want to know and do the things that are right with God, His promises says you shall be filled. So you've got to be able to listen. You've got to be willing to surrender. You must humble yourself. You must hunger for the truth. And then you've got to be willing to have some knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. John chapter 14, verse number 6. Somebody that has the knowledge of Jesus Christ. In order to have that good ground, somebody out there has got to be spreading the word, sowing that seed, so that you can hear the truth. And the truth is all about Jesus Christ. So I've got to be willing to learn and know some things about Jesus Christ. What's one of the greatest things to know about Jesus Christ? It says, Jesus saying to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. Why is that so important? If anybody ever out there teaches you there's another way to heaven, they're lying to you. This is the only truth. There's only one way to get into heaven, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Don't let people lie to you. Know something about Jesus Christ. John chapter 10, verse number 9. It says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus himself said those words. One way, one path, and it is Jesus Christ. He says, I am the door. Jesus is the door. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. John chapter 3, verse 16. We've all heard it. But let's read it again. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you don't have the knowledge of the truth, if you don't have the knowledge of Jesus Christ, there's no way that you've got the good ground. So I've got to know it's all about Jesus Christ. I've got to know. How do I get to know? People sowing the seed. Look at me. You've got to be willing to answer the call. John chapter 6, verse 44. You know, a lot of times we think, hey, you know, I can just pick and choose and everything else. No one comes to know Jesus Christ unless his Father draws him. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Amen.
Somebody here today, God is calling. God's drawing you to His Son, Jesus Christ. God wants to have a personal relationship with you. But you've got to humble yourself. You've got to hunger for the truth. You've got to be able to realize that you can't do it on your own. I can't do it on my terms. I can't stand before God and lie. You can stand in front of the people in this church all day long and we don't know the truth. I don't know your heart, but God knows your heart. He searches your heart. And if you sit there today and you know that you're just being hard-headed about it and saying, you know what, I can fool these guys. There will be a day that comes that you will stand before God and He's not going to listen to the lies.
Amen.
Because one day you were sitting in the pew or you were sitting out there somewhere else and the Father was calling you in and you just sat there. You did nothing. You knew that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. You knew that Jesus was the door to get into heaven. You knew that God sent His Son. But you never accepted it. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. In order to have good ground is somebody that is willing to honestly believe and have true faith. Back in Luke, it says to have the good ground, you've got to be honest. That's one thing that we lack a lot of times. We look around and we say, well, you know, I can fool them, I can fool them. But there is a time in your life when you've got to be honest with yourself. This is all about you. This is between you and God.
Amen.
You've got to be honest. In Romans chapter 10, and another verses a lot of people have heard, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Straight from the Word of God, true statement. Society today, though, says, you know what, I just got to say it. If I say these few words, I'm going to be saved and I'm good to go. That's not the truth, that's a lie. It's not about saying the words. Yes, I need to be able to confess it, but first of all, I've got to believe it in my heart. My soul has got to be right. My heart and my mind and my soul has got to be right. Because He says it in there. If they believe in thine heart, if you believe in your heart, God's searching this. If I'm believing in my mind and just saying some words, it means nothing. It says I've got to believe it in here because you know where God's looking? Right in here. He's going to come in there and look and He's going to ask and He's going to say, were you truly honest? Or were you just trying to impress your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your mom or your dad or your coworkers and doing the things that you know I thought would make them happy? They will not be there on that day of judgment. They're not going to be there with you. You cannot say, my mama was saved, I'm okay. You've got to stand before God one day and be judged. And if you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. From with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He's looking in here first. Are you willing to believe? Are you willing to have true faith? One more verse. Verse number 13. Romans chapter 10, verse number 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When you call upon the name of the Lord, you're calling and saying, Lord, I ain't got this. I can't do this. I need You, Father. I need You. I surrender. I humble myself before You. I repent of my sins. I'm calling on You, Lord, to come and save me. Call upon the name of the Lord. It's not about actions. It's not about just saying a few words. It's an honest and truthful believe it in your heart. And somebody should have put page numbers on this. 1 John chapter 5. Verse number 24. Jared be helping me out back there. He'd keep me in line. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 24. Is it taking us there, Jared? There you go. Thank you, brother. It says, and this is, falls under the willing to honestly believe in true faith. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Jesus' words. Got to hear my words. You got to believe on them words and receive the gift of everlasting life. Know that it's all about the soil, though. Know that it's all about your heart, your mind, and your soul, and making sure that it is ready to receive. Because if it's not ready to receive, it will fall by the wayside. It'll hit them rocks, and the minute the temptation comes along, it'll be gone. The cares of this life will take it away. But if I'm ready to receive and I'm ready to believe. In verse number 14, it also says that we need to have a good heart back in Luke chapter 8. But look at Matthew chapter 5, verse number 8. If you ever get an opportunity, read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. That's some good stuff. There's always great, great Word of God in there. So you can always go back and catch that one. But Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said once again, he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Don't you want to see God?
Amen.
Don't you want to spend some time with Him? Don't you want to just fellowship with Him? You know, we've got to get the impurities out of our lives, because He ain't there. You know, where there is sin, He's not there. Where there's darkness, He ain't there. But when we can get pure with God, we're going to see how awesome He is, how wonderful He is. But you know what? That's got to be in here. Are you willing to get rid of all that ugliness and all them things that are in your heart? Are you willing to? Because until you're ready to allow God to come in and clean that thing out, until you're ready to say, yes, Lord, I accept. It's ugly in there. It is ugly. Got to have that pure heart. Somebody that is willing to keep God's word. Turn back with me to John chapter 8. I want to read this really, really important part. In John chapter 8. Because I think a lot of times we just want to skip over it and we don't pay any attention to it. Verse number 15. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 8. Did I say John? Yeah, y'all kind of keep me going. Be have us all over the place. Luke chapter 8, verse number 15. This is where we are. We're in the good ground. But it says, on the good ground, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. Keep it. What's the difference between the good ground and the thorns? They've heard the word, right? The people that have rock, they've heard the word. Those by the wayside, I don't know if they heard it or not. They weren't listening, right? They weren't paying any attention. They've heard the word, but the minute the things of this life come along, they were gone. But in order to have that good ground, not only do I have to hear it, I need to keep it. In John chapter 14, verse 23, please, Jared. Jesus answered and told them, said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words. So not only just hear it, not only just believe it, but now I need to keep it. It's all part of having that good heart, mind, and soul. in order to accept the things that Jesus has to offer. You know, there's no way I can love God with all my heart, mind, and soul on my own. I can't fathom God. I can't understand God on my own. He's more than I can ever imagine. How can I truly love Him if I don't understand Him? But when I come to know Him as my Lord and Savior, God opens the book to us and says, here is who your Heavenly Father is. Loving, kind, Redeemer, Forgiver, full of grace and mercy, victorious over the devil. Man, God is good. God is good. So a man love me, Jesus Christ, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. I want God to love me. I really do. I want God to love me. Now, I'm a pretty ugly person. There's a lot messed up in here, right? But praise be to God, He has come in and made me a new creature.
Amen.
And through the blood of Jesus Christ am I forgiven of my sins and cleansed of all unrighteousness. Only through Him.
Amen.
And because I love Him and keep His words, His Father will love me and will come unto me and make an abode with Him. I get to hang out with God.
Amen.
Come on now. Do you want to hang out with God or do you want to live in the world? Because one day, this world will be gone.
Amen.
And everybody in here will stand before God and there will be a judgment. You can either choose to spend eternity with God in heaven, or you can choose to spend eternity in hell. It is a real place. In order to get that good ground, you got to open the gate to your garden and allow God to come in and work the soil in your heart. Surrender all to Him and hold nothing back. God needs to be able to come in and break up some rocks, because we all had them. He's got to be able to come in and break up some rocks and remove some thorns from your soil. You can't do it. Don't say, well, you know, I'm gonna get right with God after I get some things straightened out. It ain't like that. Know. Know that you can't do it on your own. Know that you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And open that heart to Him and let Him come in. And take them rocks and throw them out. Take them thorns and rip them out. You know, sometimes some of us got so much yucky stuff in there, He's got to take a ball of fire, throw it in there and burn all the old away. So that your soil can get right and be ready to bear some fruit. You know what scares a lot of people away? Is they're like, no, man, I don't want to change anything. I want to get a couple things fixed up here and there, but I don't want to change my life. And they're lost. They're lost. They've got to surrender it all. They've got to give it all to God. Getting ready to close. As we look at 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 12. Please know, it is my heart that you just know the truth. God is looking for that good soil. There's many, many good children of God that are obeying the call and spreading the word, sowing the seed. And there's many of you out there that just need to receive it. But 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 12, and it says, and this is a record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son.
Amen.
This life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And now, don't stop right there, because some of y'all need to hear it. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. I've got to have Jesus Christ in my life, in my heart, as my Lord and Savior. Because that's where eternal life is.
Amen. Amen.
That's where the answer is. Sometimes we don't believe that hell is real. We just kind of want to paint this pretty picture. All won't be too bad. We'll be down at the golf club shooting golf and hanging out. You know, we won't have to be up there praising Jesus Christ all day. That's not true. Last one, Revelation chapter 21. I didn't put this one on here. I was going to avoid it, but God says, let's go. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 8. Actually, starting in verse number 7. Here's the truth. This is the true answer. In Revelation 21, verse 7, it says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Do I want to be a child of God? Do I want to be able to inherit all things? Here's your warning. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, opened your heart and surrendered all, it says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." It is the truth. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your eternity is in hell. If you stand before God one day, He's going to look at you and say, "You know, you lied. You tried to show the world and pretend to the world that you were a child of God, but you never truly believed in your heart that I gave my Son to pay for your sins. You said the right things. You did the right things." Don't lie to God. Be honest with God. That's where our truth is only in the Word of God. I've shared with you my heart because I've been there. And please don't think that I've got it all figured out now, and I'm not acting like I've got it all figured out. But I know that I've got to put all my cares in Jesus Christ. Amen. I've got to give it all to Him. He's got to be the Lord of my life. I cannot be the Lord over my job, you know, my house, my marriage, and then come in here and play God on Sunday. I can't do those things. I know that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and God is the Master of all things. Now, if He allows me to have a job, if He allows me to have a good marriage, if He allows me to have a good home, thank you, Lord. Show me how to handle those things. And He will. But I've got to give it all to Him. Last but not least, verse number 16. And then I'll get down and be quiet. Have I talked too long? Probably have, huh? There's no clock around here. Luke chapter 8, verse number 16. And Brother Jeff told me earlier, he says, "You know, you don't even have to get up there now after Marquita's done. She done gave your message away." Luke chapter 8, verse number 16. Thank you, Jerry. Here's how I know. Here's how God knows. Here's how the world knows. That if you have the good soil, have heard the word, honestly believe the word, and kept the word, here's how we identify the good soil. "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel, or putteth under a bed, but setteth on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light." Do you have God's light shining? Can the world see God's light shining? This is how I know that I've got the good ground, ready to receive what God has for me. Because it says that I am going to go forth and produce fruit. And that fruit, that first fruit, is that light that other people can see, that I can sow and share the Word of God with them. I hope and pray that today each and everybody here has the good soil and is ready to receive the truth and acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. If not, can you be honest with yourself today that I need to surrender my life to Jesus Christ and allow Him to be the Lord and Savior of my life. We'll just be honest with ourselves today. That's the message.